Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
And happy Thursday morning to you, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH 97.5 and 1240. I'm Tommy Kester, Paul Savage in today, filling in for Jacob Albracht. Jad Chambers behind the board producing our show. The IHOP hotline, that is open all morning long at 869-1240. We appreciate you tuning in to the show today. We've got a pretty busy schedule on the program. At 9:30, our betting insider, PJ Glasser from the BetQL Network, will join us to talk best bets of the weekend. We will get into that. We will also talk to our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com. You can find him on social media at Life of Fitz. That'll be coming up as we kick off our number two. Paul, happy Thursday. Good to see you, my friend.
It's good to see you, too. I'm glad everything's going good. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a fun show. There are some really interesting topics that I think we're going to have on this show today. So I look forward to today.
Yeah, of course, Thursday Night Football is tonight,
yes.
And so that we'll get into that a little bit.
Okay.
In fact, in our next segment, we'll
give
a brief preview of that. Both KU and K-State play Friday night primetime games tomorrow night, so we'll get into that with Tim Fitzgerald on K-State. We'll talk a little bit about KU. I have to ask you as we kick off the show.
Please.
As a high school football coach,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel overall about D1 college football games on a Friday night?
I hate it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't want KU to do it. I don't want K-State to do it. I don't want friends to do it. I don't want anybody to do it. And here's why. Friday's nights are special. You know, they make movies. They've written books. They've made television programs, for guys' sakes, called Friday Night Lights. And it's the Friday night, and it's the lights. That's the combination. And, you know, a lot of budgets for football programs, particularly smaller ones, Tommy,
sure.
as you know, they derive their revenue from basically the gate. People coming in, buying a ticket, buying a pop, buying a cup of coffee, buying some popcorn. That's how they make their money. Anything that distracts from, let's say, KU or K-State, they take a lot of people all over this state. K-State will draw people all the way from Hugerton all the way up to Atchison. And I'm not crazy about that. I don't like it, Tommy. And I'm saying it forcefully, I think. I hope I'm saying it forcefully. I don't like Friday night football for colleges. If you're an AD and you ever get wind of this, I don't like it. Nobody
I mean,
likes
you
it.
Know why they do it, right? I mean, come on.
Of course.
The money is there.
I don't.
I mean, think about, for instance, Fox. And so this K-State game against Arizona tomorrow night is on Fox. That's a primetime network game on a night of the week, regardless of high school football season or not, where traditionally that's not a heavy night for television watching.
Right.
And so if they can get a live, prominent college football game on a Friday night on network TV, you know, and they can increase their ratings and they can get more commercials and all, I mean, come on. Like, that's a moneymaker right there for Fox.
I don't care. I don't care.
It's the tradition of it, right?
It's sacred.
Friday night high school football is sacred.
Well, why don't we just, if you're Fox, why don't you just come out and admit you don't give two hoots and you know where about high school football?
I mean, I think they would say that on record.
They don't care about that.
Look, my take on it is I don't love it, and I understand the reasons why. I mean, like, yeah, Friday night is high school football. My whole thing is you've got both KU and K-State playing under the lights on a Friday night. If it's going to have to happen, at least try to make a schedule where it's one or the other, you know? Like, don't take both teams, you know, and both teams are playing at home. KU obviously is playing at Children's Mercy, but still, like, you're taking up a lot of people around the state who are going to be going to either one of those games because they're both home games. So choose one. If you can schedule it out to where, you know, if K-State is going to play at home on a Friday night, okay, KU will play on a Saturday. That way you at least can protect a little bit the high school crowds.
Well, it's just a shame. Now, that's just my opinion. And by the way, it's hard to keep a straight face. You got Steve McIntosh and Ted Woodward in the studio right next making faces at me.
You know, I got to tell you.
They're very immature at times. You know that?
Yeah, our buddies Steve and Ted over on KNSS, they're literally in the studio next to us. And if you're a Steve and Ted listener in the morning, then you're familiar with our producer, Jad Chambers.
Yes.
He's also their producer in the morning. He hops over, you know, from one studio to the other. I got to tell you, like, if you're comparing Steve and Ted and you and I in the morning, I mean, we've got them beat in the looks department.
Oh, my God. It's not even close, really.
They may be Marconi Award winners. You know, Steve McIntosh may be a Kansas Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame member, all of that. But we've got the good looks.
Hey, we're the ones.
We've got the good looks.
We're the ones that have the chicks chasing them
They may be more talented.
Well,
but we're better looking.
That's at least one thing. But anyway, I'm sorry. I digress. But by the way, KNSS is a great deal. If you're driving to work, you know, turn them in. You'll get caught up on what's going on in the world. Now, with that being said, I get your point with regards to the Friday night football. All the reasons in the world will never convince me. Now, let me be truthful. I'm probably a little more vested into high school football on Friday nights than the average guy. Okay, I get it. But these kids,
you're down there on the sideline. You're working with these kids every day.
Every day. And I want to see the full attention of the entire state of Kansas. And I'm going to talk Kansas only. You know, if you're in Oklahoma and you want Oklahoma State to play on a Friday night, that's your business. Here's what I know because of the layouts and the demos of both schools. Kansas State in particular is going to pull a lot of people from Western Kansas. You know,
absolutely,
where you got 8-man football,
100%.
You got 1A, 2A, you know, you got a lot of smaller schools and stuff. They'll pull a lot. And I'm not saying that those would be crossover people, but it will affect, you know, it will affect.
I know a lot of
Oakley.
People.
Let's look at Oakley.
Sure.
Just pull out Oakley off the map. You know, will that affect Oakley's attendance? Well, you know it will. What? 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 people maybe going to Manhattan to see a game with K-State. And that, by the way, is a lot of people. That's a lot of revenue.
$500
worth of revenue.
It's not just that. It's also going to be on TV that night, too. So
right.
Who, you know, the people that may want to stay home and not, you know, go out to the.
Right.
Now, of course, people can know you can always bring your phone. You know, you can always watch it on your phone as you're at the high school game. I know a lot of people, though. You know, I grew up here, went to college around here, high school, all of that. I know a lot of people from Western Kansas. A lot of people I went to college with, you know, are from Western Kansas. And it might be a 4 or 5 hour drive from far Western Kansas to Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
But they're season ticket holders for Kansas State. Mm-hmm. They're making that drive. They're making that 4.5, 5 hour drive. They're, you know, third generation farmers or third generation ranchers, fourth, whatever, you know, and they've been season ticket holders since Bill Snyder first came to town, maybe even before then. They're making that drive to Manhattan on even on a Friday night.
Right.
Even if there is 1A or 8-man or even 6-man football going on, you know, they're probably going to make that drive to Manhattan. So it's kind of interesting. Andrew on our video stream comments about this whole topic. He said, yeah, you get the improved TV ratings now, but it comes at the cost of growing the game of football for future years and generations. He calls it a short-term gain and a long-term loss.
That's pretty well said. I wish I'd have said that.
I mean, that's more eloquent than what you and I have been babbling about for the last 10 minutes. So we appreciate
that
comment, Andrew.
That was a great comment.
You can leave your comments, by the way, on our video stream. You can watch us live on YouTube, on Facebook, on X, also simulcasting on 12 News Connected. You can leave your comments right there. They'll pop up on our screen. We'll put them up on the screen for you. Also, I heard this, Paul, that Jacob told me. I wasn't on the show yesterday. Jacob told me after the fact that I believe you guys had a voice message for the very first time on the program.
We did.
That you were able to play back. So
pretty cool. Pretty
you can
cool
you
stuff.
Can do that right now if you're listening to the program on the free Odyssey app. You can listen to the show there, download the app, and you can leave a comment. There's a little microphone button when you're listening to the KFH radio live stream on the Odyssey app. You press that microphone button. It's kind of like leaving us a voicemail.
It is.
You can say what you want, obviously within reason. Jad, our producer, will take a listen to it. He'll decide if it's worthy enough to go on our show, but you guys had that yesterday, and that's a pretty cool new feature that you can take advantage of. So many different ways to interact with our program this morning, and of course, the traditional way on the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. We are just getting going here on a Thursday. On the other side of the break, Paul and I dive into the Royals. They dropped 2 of 3 to the Yankees. They're finally through that incredibly difficult 20-game stretch. We'll take a look ahead and see how things stand for Kansas City. On the other side, it's Tommy Caster and Paul Savage, Sports Daily. Coming right back. Baseball coverage on KFH is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. The Royals are off tonight. It's another off day for them. And they are still on the road in the middle of this road trip. They dropped 2 of 3 to the Yankees last night, the deciding game of that three-game set in New York last night. In extra innings, they fall 4-3 in 11. After the day off, they are on the road in Pittsburgh for a big weekend set against the Pirates. And Paul, you know, they're through this 20-game stretch of baseball that, you know, started all the way back, I believe, on August 22nd or 23rd. It's been an absolutely crazy gauntlet of games for the Royals. They finish that stretch of baseball, though, in the 20 games with a record of 9-11. So almost 500. I think going into that stretch, most people knowing who they were playing and the Phillies and the Guardians and the Twins and the Yankees would have probably been okay with 500, probably thought, you know, a 10-10 record after those 20 games would be okay. 9-11 is slightly under that. Really, it was that 8-game losing streak right in the middle of the stretch of games. But they dropped 2 of 3 on the road to the Yankees, who are probably the best team or one of the top two teams in Major League Baseball. Knowing that and knowing that they lose 2 of 3 this week on the road in New York, and they finish this stretch of games at 9-11, how do you feel right now? The Royals are 13 games over 500 still.
Well, I'll tell you how I feel. I feel pretty good. I mean, that no ground was given up, because right now the Royals are 4.5 back at the Guardians. Was it yesterday? Yeah, I believe yesterday it was 3.5. And, of course, I got involved in some film last night, watching film, getting ready for a football game. And so I was checking on the Royals, and then all of a sudden I get to the 11th, the bottom of the 11th. I check on my phone just to see where we're at, because this game is in extra innings. And so I look at my phone, and I go, oh, crud. Runners at the corner, one out, you know, yeah, game tied up. And I thought to myself, bottom of the 11th. Here we go. And sure enough, the Yankees scored a run and the game over. So, you know, it was 9-11. You know, something tells me that's okay, because now this stretch of really, really tough baseball is over. And now there's a chance to make up some ground. And the Guardians all this week so far have been feasting on the White Sox.
Right.
I mean, come
that's
on.
Been, that's
come
been
on.
The struggle with this particular week, is that the Royals travel to New York to take on the Yankees.
Yeah.
And the hope, you know, on Sunday, I think it was after the series this weekend, before they hit the road to New York, I think the Royals had cut the lead for the Guardians down to 2.5 games, I believe.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like, okay, well, like they're still right there. They could still potentially find a way to make it work in the division. Of course, you know, the Guardians play the White Sox, and the Royals lose 2 of 3 to the Yankees, and they're back to 4.5. The silver lining, the positive note, even if the division is out of reach, and it, you know, probably is with 14, 15 games left to play in the regular season, they're 4.5 games back, is that they've got a decent cushion still in the wild card race. It would have to take an epic collapse between now and the end of the season for them to give up that cushion of games. But the teams behind them are playing well right now. The Tigers are playing well. The Red Sox are playing okay. You know, so like there are teams that are still jockeying for position and trying to chase them down. It's going to be easier said than done for those teams, though. But you know what? They survive. I think that's the biggest thing. That 20-game stretch, they survive. It was bad for a while. There were moments where I thought, this is going south quickly for Kansas City.
Well, why wouldn't you? I mean, history's on your side on those kind of thoughts. I mean, we've seen that before, so why wouldn't you think that?
Yeah, and you know, in the game last night, it's hard to be overly angry about the way that the series ended with the Yankees. I watched a good portion of the game last night, including the extra innings, and it's hard to be mad at that. Yeah, you're disappointed. You want to see them walk away with the victory. You know, they were clutch in the seventh inning to tie the game, you know, of course, force it to extras. The bullpen was pretty solid, and that has not been, you know, the constant for the Royals. That's not been the norm for Kansas City. Sam Long pitched a fairly clean inning. Ursig came in and pitched two innings in relief and only gave up a hit, struck out two, didn't walk anybody, didn't give up any runs. And honestly, with Bubich, you know, he pitched an inning and a third in extras. He's credited for the loss. He's credited with the blown save, but it was an unearned run. You know, it was an infield single from Jazz Chisholm. Again, it's hard to be too angry with the way that that all went down.
Well, I think you're right. But the good thing is the schedule certainly gets much easier, and so that's an advantage. Let me ask you this. With the time left, I mean, literally, we're almost halfway through the month of September, so, you know, we're down to, what, 2.5 weeks?
Yeah.
Not quite 3 weeks of baseball, correct? So
yeah.
When you think about that, is there any way – is there any way the Royals win the division? Is there any? I mean, this is baseball.
I just don't think so. I think the deficit,
I know,
even at 4.5 games right now, is too large with only a certain number. I mean, they've got 15 games remaining in the regular season. It would take the Guardians to really, really collapse, and the Royals play really strong.
Yeah.
We actually have a voice message. Again, we talked about it in the last segment. If you want to leave us a message that we can play back on the show, you can do that if you listen to the free Odyssey app. There's a little microphone button right by the play button on the KFH radio page. You can leave a message. Ken has a voice message about the Royals. Jad, go ahead and hit that.
Great series for Salvador Perez in New York. Counted for 6 of the Royals' 11 runs and played great defense. Too bad that the game last night didn't turn out better. It could have gone either way.
Thanks for the message, Ken. Really appreciate that.
Ken.
And you know, that's great insight. I mean, things that I think had been, you know, really concerning for the Royals going into this series and really throughout this stretch of baseball. They did some things, even dropping 2 of 3 to the Yankees. They did some things, especially in the bullpen. And you know, Ken mentions the defense that give me a little bit more optimism as you enter in a slightly less difficult stretch of the regular season to end the year for the Royals and then ultimately into the playoffs. I feel more optimistic, I guess, now, even knowing that the Royals dropped 2 of 3.
Well, I'm optimistic because even at this time of the year, you know, you get into this, you know, it's been a long baseball season. Salvador Perez, man, what a guy, what a player, what a man. I mean, he had a great series, timely hitting, a lot, you know, RBIs. I mean, he was, I think, the MVP of this series. I mean, even though you dropped 2 of 3, I mean, you know, this Salvador Perez was the key to this team being great. And I like this because Salvador Perez is playing well going down the stretch, which bodes well once you get into the playoffs. So, man, that was great insight by Ken. I really liked that. And I'm glad he brought up Salvador Perez because, man, what a player in this series. And where do you want to shine? How about Yankee Stadium in New York City against the Yankees? Where better can you shine to all of baseball than in Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, the Royals have, you know, a handful of series left. And really, I think one thing that's important, and we know, we've talked about this before, Kansas City has at one point it was the best, and I don't have the standings in front of me, so I don't know for sure, but it's one of the best, if not the best, home records in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. Once you get through this series on the road at Pittsburgh this weekend, you go back home, the Royals will go one more time on the road to play the Nationals, a 3-game stretch in D.C. The Nationals are really bad. Mm-hmm. Other than that, their remaining games are at home. Series against the Tigers, against the Giants. I take that back. They stay on the road. They finish the season on the road at the Braves. So they're on the road to wrap up the season. But ultimately, the teams that they're playing, like the Nationals on the road, the Pirates this weekend, are not great baseball teams overall. So that's great. By the way, the other quick note I want to make before we go to break, I think what's going to be a key point for the Royals over the final 15 games, if Tommy Pham continues to play the way that he did last night and the way that we've seen him play in that leadoff position, he could be the linchpin offensively for the Royals.
Yeah.
Outside of the guys that we always talk about, that may end up being one of the most important acquisitions that J.J. Piccolo made. They claimed him off of waivers from the Cardinals. They've not had any production all season long at the leadoff position. They've not even had a regular player bat leadoff all season long. Tommy Pham has kind of solidified his role And I mean, he was 3 of 4 last night offensively. He could be the guy with his energy and his passion to lead them back to the playoffs.
I like that thought because I think you're right on target. That could be a big difference maker for the rest of the season, but also going into the play. I like the way you think, big boy.
It's going to be interesting. That's of course, interesting. The Royals get the day off tonight.
Right.
They are back on Friday night and all weekend long on the road at Pittsburgh taking on the Pirates. You can catch all of the action all weekend long right here on KFH. We're going to step aside for another timeout. On the other side, we'll be joined by our betting insider from BetQL, PJ Glasser. We'll talk about Thursday night football and the best bets of the weekend. It's on the way next on KFH.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Hey, a big thanks to our friends over at Prairie Fire Coffee, keeping us caffeinated all morning long, every morning here in the KFH studio. It's, man, I look forward to it every day. You know, I've got, as you know, Paul, I've got 2 little kids. I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Yes, you do.
I'm tired all the time. literally, it's the only thing that, like, gets me excited about getting up and out of bed is knowing that I get to partake in some Prairie Fire Coffee here at the KFH studio. So we really appreciate them and their sponsorship of Sports Daily. On the line now is the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find your podcasts. PJ Glasser joining us here on our live video stream and on KFH Radio. PJ, good morning. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, guys. Good morning to you. How's everybody doing?
You know, things are good. And I know that you made your debut with us here on Sports Daily a week ago. I wasn't on the show when you were here a week ago. So this is you, this is our first time, you and me, talking some betting. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, same here. It was awesome last week. We were obviously previewing the Chiefs and Ravens game. I was telling Paul and Jacob that I was a Ravens fan. So, you know, not the best coming back here this week, but it was an awesome game. Came right down to the wire. And I think Bengals-Chiefs, guys, is going to be a really good game as well. As you guys know, like whenever the Chiefs kind of go up against these top AFC teams, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Bills, like these games are always close. So it should be another good one this week.
100%. We're going to dive into some of the angles with the Chiefs and Bengals here in just a minute. But you mentioned the Bills, PJ. They play tonight on Thursday Night Football, traveling to Miami. You know, it's interesting with Buffalo, you know, especially in week number one, just kind of seeing the way that that offense is going to operate with kind of the depleted weapons that Josh Allen really doesn't have anymore there. Of course, Allen dealing with a hand injury, also on the road to Miami. What do you like in this game as far as an angle is concerned? Where do you think the good options are?
Yeah, guys, I like the under in this game, especially at 49 on BetMGM, getting that nice round number. The Bills, I mean, coming into the season, you figure they probably be a more run-heavy football team, right? Getting rid of their top two receivers and Diggs and Gabe Davis, James Cook emerging in the backfield for them. And that's what they did in week one. You know, Allen's pass attempts were limited. He didn't turn the ball over. He ran himself quite a bit. And on a short week, you know, again, while they're still trying to work on the chemistry with the receiving core and these new young faces, I like the under as well. Miami's got some injuries in the backfield. As we know, Mostert's not going to play. A-Chain's a game time decision. And these games in Miami, like Bills, Dolphins, always tend to be pretty low scoring, pretty sloppy. Tua's played 7 games in his career against Buffalo, guys. He's only thrown 2 or more passing touchdowns one time. So he tends to struggle in these games against Buffalo a little bit. And look, when you're talking about games in Miami in September, it's usually one of the best home field advantages because of the heat. But obviously, because this game is at night, it's not as much of a factor. So I think because of that, the Bills' defense will have a little bit more of an advantage is it would if it were like a Sunday 1 o'clock game. So I'm going with the under in this matchup, 49 tonight.
You know, I got to ask one more question about this particular game, because I think there's a factor that you haven't brought up, and I'm just going to throw it out there and see if this is a factor. And that is, I'll just tell you, I've been a football coach for over 30 years. I understand how football teams work, how they think, how they're emotional. And there have been so many distractions with the Dolphins right now. And you know all about them. Shoot, you can't watch a broadcast on television, on sports, and doesn't matter what channel it is, or listen to a sports talk radio show without hearing about Tariq Hill and all the things that are going on. You know, you have a football team that's had, what, four or five guys in handcuffs within the last week and all kinds of things going on. Distraction, distraction, distraction. And you're around football enough to know distractions will kill a football team. Now, you're giving the Dolphins 2.5 points, but with all the distractions, all the things on these guys' minds, I don't know that that's enough points. I'm not here to tell you how to set your line, please. I'm not doing that. But 2.5 points, I'm taking the Buffalo Bills all day long with only having to give up 2.5 points. What do you say about distractions? I know that's not a category usually, but distractions are going to be big on this football team.
No, definitely. Distractions are a huge part, Paul. It's a great point. When, like, as we do these shows throughout the year, guys, and we preview all these games, NFL and college, like, I'll talk a ton about spots and look ahead and letdown spots and sandwich spots and distractions and all these kind of things. So I love all those kind of factors in handicapping games. I will say, I think the fact that the Dolphins won on Sunday is a huge deal, right? If they had all those things with Tyreek Hill, they lost and then had to turn around on a short week, I think it might be a different story, but winning cures everything. And I think at the end of the day, the fact that they were able to win that game, I think the Jacksonville game probably would have been the game where there would have been more distraction just because it was the day of, kind of that shock to the system. You see all the videos like your best player getting arrested on the side of the highway. So now that they won and they've kind of had time to digest it a little bit, Tyreek's talked about it on various outlets, I don't think it's as much of a factor. I would probably take the Dolphins to win tonight on the money line. I wouldn't lay the 2.5 with them. But again, the under would be my play. And then the Dolphins, if I had to make a play on the side, I would lean towards them.
You know, PJ, one quick final note on this particular game, really with the division as a whole. I mean, I think after week one, the AFC East might be the most interesting division in the NFL. I mean, you know, with both Miami and Buffalo having double-digit comeback wins in week one, the Jets at moments looked like the team that we thought they would be, especially offensively, but the defense for New York let them down on Monday Night Football, and then the Patriots come out of nowhere to beat the Bengals. I mean, at this point, things can change a lot, but I mean, I kind of feel like the AFC East is wide open. If you're looking at a futures bet or something, is there a play or an angle with that particular division?
It's a great question. I think the Jets are probably the play, Tommy, if I had to make one, just because the Bills and the Dolphins obviously play each other tonight. So chances are one of those teams have to lose. And if Buffalo, you would figure New England probably going to fall to Seattle this weekend. The Jets are favored at Tennessee. This was a division, guys, in the offseason where Buffalo was pretty much favored the entire offseason. And then as we start getting closer and closer to the season, people are looking at these two rosters and kind of what the Jets did in the offseason and all the pieces that the Bills lost, and the Jets actually became the betting favorite. But look, Buffalo and Miami were favored in that game. The Jets were underdogs to San Francisco. So it's not like the Jets lost or they lost a game that they were supposed to win on paper. Yeah. The fact that you're kind of getting them at a better price right now, I still like New York in that division.
You know, we talked about just a moment ago, you mentioned the Patriots, and that was probably one of the most surprising outcomes of week one, them beating the Bengals. This is a Bengals team that they come to Kansas City this weekend on Sunday. They play the Chiefs, and you mentioned it to start off this entire segment that the Chiefs and Bengals and the history over the last few years is, you know, really intriguing. And with all the history between both of these teams, and there's been bad blood in years past and that sort of thing, I was really, really hyped up for this game until I saw what the Bengals did in week one. And then I'm like, well, maybe they're just not very good. And I know that there have been a lot of issues. Joe Burrow still coming back, trying to get 100% healthy. Jamar Chase just agreeing to a contract and, you know, not particularly game ready. I know they had him on a pitch count. T. Higgins out. All of those different factors that, you know, probably will be shored up to an extent when they play the Chiefs at Arrowhead on Sunday. But still, I don't know about you, but I feel like my excitement level in general and also how I want to bet this game, it's just kind of up in the air for me right now.
Well, and the lines reflected that, guys, because the look ahead before week one was Chiefs minus 3.5. And that line felt about right, right? Like Kansas City was 3-point favorites against Baltimore. Maybe Baltimore is like a half point better than the Bengals. Well, now this line got all the way up to 6, and now it's down to 5.5. And the stat that I absolutely love, guys, is that Burrow and Mahomes have played 4 times in their career, and all 4 of those games have been decided by exactly 3 points. So these games always come down to the wire. They're always field goal games. They're always close. I know a lot of people are going to take into what they saw out of New England. Honestly, I think Cincinnati was probably looking ahead to this game. I don't think they really treated New England with the proper respect. We all thought New England, there was a chance they might not win a game this season, but the Bengals are coming to Kansas City, and I'm sure the Chiefs are ready, and they know that they're going to get their best shot. Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow are 1-8 straight up in weeks 1 and 2. So for whatever reason, they always get off to a slow start. That's why I don't think the Bengals win the game. But man, history tells us, guys, that this is going to be a field goal game, a 4-point game. The fact that we're getting 5.5, 6, I like the Bengals to keep this game close.
I'm going to let Paul ask the next question, but I just wanted to jump in really quick, and I'm going to give my co-host Jacob Albrecht a little bit of credit, because even though I wasn't on the show, he made sure to let me know that last week in this segment with you, he made it clear that he loved Xavier Worthy for the first Chiefs touchdown, and he bet it. I think he won a decent amount of money. So he's not here today.
Beautiful.
But I feel like I got to give him props. So I think that, you know, that was something that I know you guys talked about, PJ.
There you go. Why not? Hey, and one other game I'd like to visit with you about is Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. That's a Bears getting 6 points. You know something? Here's the thing I like about this game. Houston's going to be a good football team. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up winning a division and getting into the playoffs and making a run. Chicago Bears, even though they've got a pretty good defense, Caleb Williams stinks. He stinks.
It's 1 week, Paul.
Well, he still stinks.
Okay. What,
is my thinking off a little bit? Because I sure like Houston, even though they're given 6 points. Am I off on this thing, PJ?
No, I like Houston as well. I would lay the 6.5 with them. And I think both results in the Houston and Chicago game last week were misleading, right? We know all about the Bears game. Tennessee was up 17. Bears have a couple defensive touchdowns. They averaged 2.9 yards per play in that game, guys. Like, it was historical stuff that Chicago with the rookie quarterback and how bad their offense was able to win that game. Meanwhile, Houston easily could have dropped 40 on Indianapolis. You know, they had kind of, they mismanaged the clock late in the first half. They were settling for a bunch of field goals in the red zone. Like, Stroud in that offense looks exactly like it did last season. Really, really good. Houston's defense, I expect to be much better this week against a rookie and at home. So I'm with you, Paul. Like, anything under 7, I think it's a great price with Houston. I think they'd be a good look this week for survivor pools and all that kind of stuff. So I'm right with you. I like Houston. I'd lay the 6.5 with them.
Our betting insider, PJ Glasser from BetQL, joining us here on the program today. I think one of my biggest takeaways, PJ, from week one in the NFL, I was impressed by what I saw from the Dallas Cowboys on the road in Cleveland last week. I mean, I had a feeling, I'm not really high on Cleveland. I had a feeling they would probably win the game. But I didn't think that Dallas would dominate in the way that they did. Were you surprised by that and the way that all played out?
I was on last week with Jacob and Paul, and I told him that Cleveland was one of my favorite bets just because it was almost a fade at Dallas. And like, Dallas always tends to lose those kind of games when you get them like outdoors and they're on grass instead of turf and Dak goes up against a good defense. But man, right away, you could just tell that Dallas was the right side. And obviously Watson did not look good at all for Cleveland. But now that Dallas is back at home, like, these are the spots where you want to back them. Dak in Jerry World laying a big number, like, they tend to roll in these games. And I know everybody's going to be super impressed by what the Saints did, but the Panthers look like they're going to be a mess again this season. And Derek Carr going up against that pass rush for Dallas. Derek Carr is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league when you get him under pressure, right? No quarterback likes pressure, but Carr's stats when he has a clean pocket compared to when he's under duress is just very drastic. So I like Dallas. Again, like Houston, if you can get the Cowboys under 7 this week, I think it's a great bet. So I like Dallas to roll this week, guys.
Well, I think you're exactly on target, too. I've got a couple questions, if you don't mind. Tommy, you mind if I switch to college real
quick? Yeah, let's do that.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
Of course, I am fascinated with the Kansas football team. The loss in Illinois kind of shook me a little bit. I did not see that coming. I'll be real truthful. I thought Kansas would win that game, and I actually kind of thought they might win it fairly handily.
Yeah.
But with that being said, they go to they got UNLV coming into Kansas City, and they're 9-point favorites. That's a lot of points. What do you see when you look at UNLV and Kansas at this point right now?
Yeah, guys, UNLV is a really good team. They might be good enough to make the college football playoff this year as one of those group of five teams. They have a really good coach in Barry Odom. They got a young, really good offensive coordinator in Brandon Marion as well. And I'm kind of looking at the over in this game at 58.5. We all know how great of a coaching staff Leipold and Kansas has, and that offense, especially when they're at home. So I would look at the points in this game and take the over at 58.5, but I would also go with UNLV at +8.5 as well. UNLV played Houston in week one, and for me, it was one of the most impressive performances any team had because of what their defense did. Like UNLV, you know they're going to be able to score points, but their defense played really well against Houston. And, you know, Illinois kind of put out the blueprint there a little bit about maybe how you could slow down Kansas, try and take away Daniel's athleticism, make it a little bit of a pocket passer. So I like UNLV plus the points. I think Kansas wins. I just think 8.5, 9 is too many. But I like the over as well. I think this could be a shootout, like a 34, 31 kind of game.
Yeah, the Kansas game last week against Illinois, PJ, the under, hit big time. I mean, it was a 37-point total between the two teams a week ago. And I think that part of where the line is set is, these two teams faced off in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl a season ago that Kansas won 49-36. I mean, it was a shootout. A little bit different this season. And I wonder, and this is more of a overall, maybe more of a philosophical question, I guess, when you're looking at college football, and it does relate to this particular game with Kansas this weekend. You're through a couple of weeks of the season, a team like Kansas, and there are other teams across the nation that have been this way, they're expected to have high-flying offenses, but they've been a little rusty. It's taken a little bit of time to get going. Do you bake that into when you're making these decisions as far as what you're betting, the time it takes for a team to get things rolling early on in a season?
For sure, especially a quarterback coming back from injury, right?
Yeah.
Like all that kind of stuff takes time. And guys, Kansas, and we can go into this Kansas State game as well.
Yeah.
Something that these two teams are dealing with are now, as you said, Tommy, like there's expectations with these two teams, right? So Kansas and K-State are used to being in the underdog role. Like you would love them when they would get Oklahoma,
right,
or Texas, right?
Right,
or some of those good Matt Rule Baylor teams like coming into Lawrence or Manhattan. And now with those teams out of the conference, it's like outside of Utah, like these are the two of the teams that are expected to compete for the league this season. So it's just an interesting shift and kind of change for these teams to deal with. So when you see Kansas laying like 8.5, 9, when you see Kansas State laying 7, it's tough for me to lay numbers with those kind of teams, just because when you're the underdog, that's one thing. But when you're favored, I mean, we saw a little bit of it last week with Kansas State against Tulane and how that game,
yeah,
they almost got upset. So yeah, I think both games are going to be tricky this week for both of those teams. I think they both win, guys, but I would take the points with UNLV and I would take the points with Arizona as well.
Yeah, it's a top 25 matchup in Manhattan tomorrow night under the lights with Arizona coming to town. It's interesting because, Arizona is obviously a really good team and a top 25 team. It's not a conference game, even though they're both in the same conference. So a little bit interesting there with that. Before we let you go, other favorite plays of the weekend could be in the NFL, could be in college. What do you like this weekend for our listeners?
Yeah, I'll give you guys one in college and one in the NFL that I really like. The college play that I love this week is going to be Utah State +20.5 against Utah, guys. It's a look-ahead spot for the Utes. So they got Oklahoma State and Stillwater next week, which is going to be a massive game. Cam Rising, their quarterback, got dinged up last week against Baylor. He might not even play in this game, but even if he does, this is just one of those games that Utah and Kyle Whittingham Graham just wants to escape and get out healthy. The fact that they got to travel on the road to a Group of Five team and play Utah State, it's going to be their Super Bowl, right? Like, Utah State's going to be playing that game to win it. They want to be this week's Northern Illinois, who upset Notre Dame last week, yeah. Whereas Utah just kind of wants to escape and get by. And also, an interesting nugget in that game, Utah State's quarterback is Bryson Barnes, who played quarterback last year for Utah. So I really like Utah State this week against Utah. And then in the NFL, guys, look, I'll fade my Ravens this week against Vegas and take Las Vegas plus the 9 against Baltimore. We talked about it last week when we were previewing Ravens and Chiefs. Lamar is great as an underdog against the spread, and he normally wins those games outright. But when he's at home as a big favorite, that's when you want to fade him. He wins the games, but he normally doesn't cover those big numbers. We all saw Baltimore and their offensive line really struggle against Kansas City. Now you got Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins coming into town. The scheduling spot for Baltimore, too, is very tough, right? Obviously, an emotional game after playing Kansas City. Guys, there are three games on deck. They're at Dallas next week, followed by Buffalo and Cincinnati as well. So a tough start to the season for the Ravens. This would kind of be that one game for them to maybe just kind of cruise by, right? Not show too much. Lamar got beat up in that Chiefs game. So a lot of reasons I like the Raiders to keep that game close this week. And I like Utah State in college football as well.
Man, there are some really interesting angles and matchups for this weekend slate. It all starts tonight. The Bills on the road in Miami to take on the Dolphins. We really appreciate it, PJ. Thanks for being on. And of course, we'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it, guys. Have a good week.
All right. That was PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In, and he's an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Always appreciate having PJ on. It's been great, Paul, to have somebody with his knowledge coming in and, you know, being able to give us some good tips and pointers for betting.
Boy, PJ knows his stuff.
Yeah, buddy. He does.
He knows his stuff, and it's really been a lot of fun. Boy, it's going to be a fun football season with him. And, boy, the guidance he gives, I think, is spot on. I mean, I can't hardly argue with anything he brought up.
If you missed any of his angles, any of his favorite bets, you can always go back and listen to our show on the free Odyssey app. It's podcasted out each and every day. You can go back and listen as you're making your wagers for tonight or for this weekend. Definitely look at what he's doing, because this guy knows his stuff.
He does.
There's no doubt about that. You can also follow him on X, by the way, at PJGlasser9. We're going to step aside for a timeout, and that wraps up hour number one. On the other side, our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, will join us to kick off hour number two. It's Sports Daily coming right back.